We're continuing our series in 1 Thessalonians, the transforming power of the gospel. So grab your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll be in verses 6 through 13. Again, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. When I began pastoral ministry 5 years ago, there were several things that I thought would be the most difficult about pastoral ministry. There were several things that would float around my head, and I would imagine this case scenario or that case scenario being the most difficult. But I have to tell you, nothing prepared me for what I call the dark night of the soul. That is, when things got hard and it was difficult to persevere, waking up many mornings at 3 a.m. and just sitting in the darkness of the house, asking myself this question: is what I signed up for, is this worth it? Not really seeing much happening right now. Is this worth it? And fast forwarding to you here this morning, I want to ask you the question: what motivates you in ministry? What makes it worth it to you? Is ministry checking a box so you can feel better about yourself for a little while before God? Or is it pleasing people? Or is it looking good in front of people? Is ministry keeping busy, et cetera, et cetera? And it's interesting, all of these things can work for a time. All of these can answer the question, is it worth it for a time, and give you meaning for a time, but these will eventually leave you asking the question, was this worth it? Is this worth it? And that question comes especially when times become difficult. So this morning, what I want to do is, we have a really awesome passage today from the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's an encouraging report to Paul. Paul's not able to be at the Thessalonian church at the time, but Timothy brings an encouraging report. And because this is the living and active, breathing word of God, it's not only an encouraging report for the Thessalonian church, but it's actually an encouraging report for Grace Community Church. And so what I would like to do is this: if I could have you stand in honor of God's word, if you are able to, we're going to try something a little different today. We're going to go ahead and read the passage together, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get started. Sound good? All right. The word of the Lord from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Please join me in prayer. As I pray, I'm going to go ahead and pray for you, and can I invite you to pray for me as we continue? Please join me. Father, I lift up this precious group of people here. No one's here by accident here. I believe in faith that you have something to speak to each and every heart through your word. And so, Holy Spirit, would you please fill this place? Would you please fill each and every heart gathered here? You know the difficulties and the circumstances each person brings here this morning. And so, would you please minister in a way that none of us can minister? Would you point us all to the good news of the gospel? And most of all, Lord, I pray that everyone here would leave here strengthened and encouraged for what you have called them to do. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, before we jump into the passage here, I want to set a little bit of context here about the passage that we are in. And so this is the first letter to the Thessalonians, Thessalonica being a city in Macedonia. And this first letter is set during Paul's second missionary journey. And you can read about this in Acts chapter 15 through chapter 18 to get more context there. Something really cool happens to Paul. He receives a vision. They originally had a plan to go to Bithynia. They were prevented from going there. And so he receives this vision from a man from Macedonia calling out and say, "Come, preach to us." So that sounds really cool. So they embark, only to meet a lot of opposition. Now, I want to be sure a lot of cool things and a lot of powerful things happened, but there was hardship waiting for them in Macedonia. They arrived to Philippi, and Paul was imprisoned. The Lord lets them out of prison. They move on to Thessalonica. Paul preaches in a synagogue, and many Jews come to saving faith in Jesus, but there were a few who were not happy. And so a mob arose in the city, and Paul was forced to leave Thessalonica as well. And why that was so heartbreaking was there were new believers in Jesus that he had the opportunity to work with, and he just had to leave all of a sudden. I want you to hear this quote from David Chapman, commentator, and I just want you to imagine the circumstances that Paul and his companions found himself in. Quote, "One can only imagine the missionaries' pain and worry as they left these new believers in such difficult circumstances." And so where they're at now is they did receive the call was really hard, and the call was painful. And now they're at a place like, was all this stuff in Thessalonica just in vain? Paul's like, I don't know what kind of report I'm going to receive. But now here in our passage, we receive report of what God was accomplishing there. And so for you gathered here, Grace Community Church, if you endeavor to embark in gospel ministry, that is, preaching the good news of Jesus to others, making followers of Jesus, coming alongside, investing your life in the local ministry, in the church, whatever God's called you to do, there will be fruitful times, but there will also be difficult times. There will be challenges that you will face. Maybe you're even sitting here this morning and you have faced challenges in ministry. Wherever you're at, I want to offer some words of encouragement to you. And so first word of encouragement that I have for you is this. Be comforted, dear brothers and sisters. Gospel ministry is not in vain. When you endeavor to be a minister of the good news of Jesus, when you endeavor to step out and talk to that neighbor, when you endeavor to step out and talk to that coworker, when you endeavor to come alongside this local body in ministry, when you endeavor to obey God in that difficult calling, even if it seems mundane, no matter where God has you, be comforted by the impact the gospel has. I don't know where you find yourself. Maybe some of you think, well, based on my context and where I'm at now, I don't see myself having a lot of impact, or I don't really have the ability, not in full-time vocational ministry, whatever the deal may be. And I just want to encourage you, wherever God has you, there is the opportunity to see people's faith and love blossom. And God has you where you are at for a purpose. So be comforted. Even if you think ministry will be in vain, or even if you have felt that ministry is in vain, I want you to look at the impact that the gospel does have and encourage you with it. Look at verse 6. And so verse 5 before that says, Paul's saying, I fear that our labor has been in vain. I fear that. Have you ever feared that your labor has been in vain? Look at verse 6. But now that Timothy has come from you, Timothy has returned to Corinth to bring this encouraging report and brought us the good news of what? Your faith and your love. There's a good report of good news. Faith, love. The Thessalonican Christians are remembering Paul and his companions fondly. Out of all the things that Timothy could have noticed, they could have noticed, oh, your numbers are doing so good, church. Your programs are impeccable. Or, oh my goodness, your ability to speak is just on point. Now, none of these things are necessarily bad things, but notice what he notices out of all the things, faith and love. In several of the epistles, Paul refers to this as faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love for all the saints. This is a really cool thing, and this is what drives us forward in ministry here, to have the opportunity to see someone come to saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, to see people's hearts transformed by the gospel, to see people go from death to life in Jesus, to see the grace and mercy of our Lord at work at people's lives, even though that we are broken, and also to see the love for all the saints. And I wanted to tell you and encourage you this, Grace Community Church. I have experienced the love that you have for all the saints. And this faith that you have in the Lord Jesus, and it's miraculous, it's a sign that you've been transformed, you've been born again, you truly trust and believe in the work of Jesus, and you have love for each other. These are indications that the gospel is at work here. And that's really cool news. And it's encouraging. And so with that, this faith and love, the Apostle Paul is able to say, this is good news. He was afraid for what might be found. The Thessalonians were in a difficult ministry context. Yet faith and love were blossoming out of the ground. And so as you persevere in the endeavor to make disciples of Jesus, no matter how that looks like, I want you to keep two points here in mind as we continue. The first point is this. If you decide to endeavor to make disciples, to share the gospel, you may have to wait a while to see the impact of the gospel. And that waiting might be discouraging. In your endeavor to disciple that person or to share the good news with that person, to invest your time in ministry in Kingdom Kids or Grace Kids or youth group or small groups, you may have to wait a while to see the impact of the gospel. When I was at my former church, I had a mentor by the name of Gary, and he's actually in southern Minnesota here, a little further east, and he was my mentor. I actually never met him in person, but we met on Zoom pretty regularly, like probably at least once a month. Got to the point where it was every other week. And one time, he was just sharing all these incredible stories from the prison ministry that they had there in town. And he was talking about people coming, prisoners there in the prison, coming to know Jesus as Savior and being transformed by the gospel and this love springing up in their lives. And he was so excited. And at the same time, I was excited for him. But I was also developing a lump in my throat. Have you guys ever gotten a lump in your throat about something, like you're choking back the tears? I try pretty hard to choke back the tears. And Gary and his grace, even like Zoom's really fuzzy, isn't it? You can't always tell people's facial expressions. At least on my computer, it was like that. I just used my phone on the data. And he very graciously said, and I could even see his twinkle of the eye through the Zoom on my blurry iPhone screen. He said, "Don't worry, Tim. Your time will come." And I hold that comment to this day. It's kind of like fishing. When I go fishing and everyone else is catching the fish and I'm not getting any fish, like I'm super happy for them, but I'm bummed for myself. I want to tell you, if you're still waiting to see the fruit of your labors, wait. Your time will come. If you're waiting to see someone in your care coming to saving faith in Jesus, wait. The time will come. If you're waiting to see fruit in whatever ministry you're involved with, wait. The time will come, dear ones. So keep that point in mind. You may have to wait to see the impact of the gospel. And the second point is this. Even when ministry is fruitful, you will be called to endure pain. It's interesting how that works, actually. Fruitfulness of ministry and pain often go together. Listen to this verse 7. So the encouraging report comes of faith and love. And then Paul continues. So the encouraging report is there. Verse 7. For this reason then, brothers and sisters, in all of our, look at this, in all of our distress and affliction, we have been comforted. Two realities are there. Suffering, comfort. They often go together. And what a beautiful picture that is, that if I tried to paint it, I could not. That even in the midst of difficulty, pain, suffering, opposition, persecution, the hope of the gospel is so great, and the joy that we see from the impact and the fruit of the gospel is so great, that even when persecution comes, we can endure. So I don't know what you're going through right now, brothers and sisters in ministry. I don't know if you're like looking into is like, I don't really feel like I'm in ministry right now, but perhaps that's something I can get into, but boy, it didn't go so well in the past. Or boy, that doesn't sound like something I'm able to step into. It sounds difficult. Or if you're sitting here and you have endured the fire of the trial, I encourage you, be comforted. Gospel ministry is not in vain. And the next word of encouragement I have for you is this. Be encouraged. The gospel is not void. Gospel ministry is not void. Gospel ministry is not empty. Gospel ministry is not meaningless. Gospel ministry is not a waste of time. It's not dull. It's not boring. There can be life. Love this verse here. Read with me on verse 8. This encouraging report comes. There's faith and love in the Thessalonian church. Paul's experiencing distress and affliction. If you are standing fast in the Lord. Hold on to that phrase there. For now we live. Has anyone heard of the phenomenon called thunder snow before? Have you ever witnessed it? Like, there's this big snowstorm, and it's thundering and lightning at the same time. There's this meteorologist I love on the Weather Channel. His name's Jim Cantore, and you can look this up afterwards. I decided not to play the video for you. But there's a couple of videos. He's out there in a snowstorm, and every time there's thunder snow, he gets super pumped. He's like, "Yeah, let's go!" And he's pumping up his hands, and then it happens again. He's like, "Oh, another one!" And then it happens again. He's like, "Oh, another one!" He's living. He's pumped up. And every time this thunder snow happens, it's so, I don't know, invigorating. And some of you are like listening to me. He's like, "Oh, snow sounds terrible. How could I be excited about that?" I love snowstorms, so it gets me ticking. And so a couple months later, It was that winter, we got a lot of snow a couple years ago, and I was standing out on the front porch on a December evening, and it's 20 degrees, and I'm looking at it snow, and it's like, oh, I see lightning on the horizon, and then it thunders, and I was like, yes! And then it happens again, I'm like, oh, let's go! And you guys have your things that pump you up too, whether it be sports or whether it be achievements, or I don't know what gets you fired up. This is what's happening with Paul. He's like, let's go! Faith and love in the Thessalonican church. It's exciting. Oh boy, to see, and we're in an exciting season here at Grace too. New people coming to faith in Jesus. Love for all the saints, unity in the body. It's so exciting. And so, brothers and sisters, we ought to be pumped for faith in Jesus Christ here and for the love of all the saints here. Like, for example, I've gotten the opportunity to serve with Grace Youth in the past year. And my favorite part of the job is this. It's seeing youth take the initiative to be here on a Sunday morning. Like, I'm not twisting their arm to be here. They just want to be here. And my favorite part of the job is showing them the gospel and seeing faces beam, maybe for the first time. And my favorite part of the job is seeing them develop over time, being shaped into the image of Christ. And I want to tell you that that's not just for pastors, that's just not for the staff here at Grace Community Church, but that could be the experience of each and every one of you. We are a body and we need every functioning part here for this thing to work. This exciting gospel ministry can be yours. This verse 8 saying, for now we live even in the midst of affliction and opposition. Be encouraged. Gospel ministry is not void. It's not empty. So moving on here, what's so exciting about gospel ministry anyway? What's this thing all about? Here's something that's exciting. The blessing of seeing God at work in people's lives. The blessing of seeing God at work in people's lives. The passage continues in verse 9. Paul's just asking, based on what I'm seeing, what thanksgiving can I even offer for you guys? Lord, you are doing more than I could ever ask, think, or imagine in the people I am working with. What thanksgiving could I offer for you? And what thanksgiving could I offer for you for all the joy that's welling up in my heart? And what thanksgiving could I offer for how I feel about you? For your sake before God. For your sake before God. What a great miracle it is to see someone who was dead in sin, running out of time, stuck in their trespasses, unresponsive to the gospel, object of wrath like the rest of mankind. And what a special thing it is to see that miracle happen of new birth, new life. That they are born again to a living hope and they are made alive by the grace of Jesus. And all of a sudden, things like grace, mercy, the work of Jesus on their behalf is just clicking with them and they are transforming before your eyes. And something else that's cool about gospel ministry. You all actually have an opportunity to participate. Like, you're not just on the bench watching all this unfold, but the Father in His grace, the Father in His good pleasure, and in His grand plan for salvation allows us as broken people and to get into the messiness of ministry together, to participate, to have a front row seat to heart change in people's lives, faith and love springing forth. And so as a point of application here, and I want to give this to you, remember then, ministry is all about people. You can do this later on your own time, but you can look at this text and notice how many times the word "you" comes up. You this, you that. Ministry is all about people. And so I want to ask you, who are you investing in? Who are you investing in? Who are you pouring your life into? And remember, if you've been transformed, if you've been forgiven, if your faith is in Jesus, you are qualified to invest in someone else's life. For the work of the gospel has already set you straight and saved you and presented you blameless before the Father. So, church, we've looked at gospel ministry is not in vain. Gospel ministry is not empty. All these cool things are happening in the Thessalonican church, and cool things are happening at Grace. And so as we continue on in the passage, above all, I want you to know something. I want you to know that we can't persevere in mission alone. The call of today's message isn't to pull up your bootstraps and to figure it out and to get going. That doesn't work. It's not what produces faith and love. We could try with all of our might to manufacture faith and love in our ministries and programs and relationships, but on our own, it's just simply not going to happen. So I want you to heed this word of encouragement. Be encouraged and be confident, for gospel ministry is not done in your own strength. If there's anything that I've learned as a dad, the need my children have for us is really spoken to me. And I get arrogant about that sometimes, but then I'm reminded that that's actually true of me before the Father. Like, I have need of God's intervention on my behalf. I have need of His Holy Spirit to empower, to fill me. And so looking at this last paragraph here, I want you to notice something. This is one of my favorite parts of the passage. Because all this cool stuff is happening, and Paul's not even there. Like, bro's not even there. He was worried about these Thessalonian believers there who were left alone, and God was doing the work anyway. It was God at work there. So look at me and look with me at all that God alone does in this paragraph here, verses 11 through 13. Be convinced in your heart of what He does for us on our behalf. Now may our God and Father Himself direct you. He's the one that directs our paths. And I want to encourage you with these words, Grace Community. We're in the process of a lead pastor search right now. And it seems like there's a lot of puzzle pieces that have to come down for that to happen, doesn't there? The Lord directs the way. The Lord can cause the paths to meet in the way that He sees fit. The interesting thing here about this context here in the Thessalonian church, Paul really wanted to return, but Satan prevented him. It says that earlier in chapter 2. So Timothy goes instead. And now Paul's saying, Lord, direct our paths. And then by God's grace, those paths were directed. He is the one who directs. He is the one who leads. He is the one who makes the increase in verse 12. And may the Lord make you what? Increase and abound. Those two words come together in Greek to literally read, increase you to overflowing. Do you believe that the Lord can do that for you? Do you believe that He is the one who directs? He is the one who increases. He is the one who establishes. He is the one who presents you blameless before the Father. He is the one who saves. He is the one who fills you with His Holy Spirit. He is the one who is coming back at the end of our passage with all His saints. Lord Jesus is the one who's coming back to establish fully His kingdom, His reign. And I don't claim to know all the details of that, but it's going to be really awesome. And we look forward to it in faith. We look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints there in verse 13. So, brothers and sisters, do you desire effectiveness? Are you tired of ministry being empty and void and a burden and a chore? Do you actually desire things to happen and to people be transformed and movement to happen? Do you desire effectiveness? If you do, then pray. That's what's happening here. The Apostle Paul looks up, for he knows there is much only God can do on his behalf. Now may our God and Father Himself, not in the place of anyone else, and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. Be confident. Ministry is not done in your own strength. I want to invite the worship team forward as we transition to our closing here. In the late 1700s and the 1800s, there is a man by the name of Adoniram Judson. He was a missionary, gospel himself, and had come to saving faith in Jesus. It was no longer just a ritual of motions to go through, but faith was real. He got the call to go to Burma, or what was called Burma at the time. And the famous William Carey even said, "You don't want to go to Burma. Don't do it. Hard area. A place where Christ's name had not been mentioned yet." And so Adoniram Judson and his family followed the calling. And this calling was not without pain and suffering. Judson lost 3 wives, 3 children. The sickness was unbearable. There were several times where he was so sick he couldn't get up. He got discouraged halfway through ministry. He built a hut somewhere and he's like, "I'm not coming out." Have you ever felt that way? Ministry? "I'm done with this. No more." Judson was imprisoned. The worst part of it being, I don't know what kind of mosquito they had, but the bugs just ate away at his flesh in prison. He was isolated. And ministry oftentimes didn't seem to have the fruit that he thought should be there. And in 1850, while out at sea at the Bay of Bengal, he died at sea from sickness. And yet he wasn't able to see this. But now the area that was known as Burma's now reached. Many people coming to have faith in Jesus through the ministry. The name of Christ being named in that area. And one of the people groups that were worked with was the Karen people. Some of the fruits that we even see here in Worthington, Minnesota in 2026. Gospel ministry was worth it, even though he went through hell. It was worth it. Because faith and love grew out. And here's my encouragement for you. God can use what you thought was in vain and use it for His glory. You could be preaching in Timbuktu and He can use it for His glory. Tragedy can befall you, and somehow in ways that I don't claim to even understand, He can further His kingdom through. what you thought was in vain, painful, a waste of time, wasted years of my life, he can use for his glory. Be encouraged with that. Don't give up on the ministry because of past experiences. Keep going. Keep the faith. Persevere. Even in affliction and distress, keep going. Because he who called you is faithful. Are you in need of encouragement today? I would really love to be able to see to the very center of each heart, but I can't do that in my flesh. Guess who can? Guess who is the one who searches every heart? He's here. Are you in need of encouragement? Is ministry? Or is the thought of going into ministry? Is the thought of reaching out to the neighbor, discipling someone, joining in on a ministry here locally? What are your thoughts about that? Are those discouraging to you? If so, that's okay. Not asking you to put on what my pastor in Oklahoma City called a fine mask. Just put on the mask and look okay and move on. My invitation to you is this. Come before the throne of grace to pray. Because being a minister of the gospel is worth it. So strengthen and encourage one another with these words. Amen.